Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with David Daoud of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, who writes routinely each week the summary of the conduct of the villains, that would be Hamas and Hezbollah in Iran, and the protagonists, that would be the IDF. In Lebanon, there is an entirely different situation than in Hamas. This is a vast and unexplored territory that Hezbollah fighters have routinely championed since the 1980s. They claim to have had a great deal of rockets, but most of them have been destroyed. What they've got now is small arms and some rockets left. The detail here is that the Lebanese government has been so weak for decades, not just since October 7th, that there's no contest between Hezbollah, a terrorist organization, and the government of Lebanon. But now, David, I hear talk that Hezbollah is being obliged to surrender its weapons in some fashion, small arms as well as the big stuff. I hear talk that the Lebanese government is asserting itself. Is this an exaggeration?
So it's not happening yet. There has been movement against Palestinian groups in one camp, specifically Fatah, but you also have other Palestinian groups, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hamas, PFLP, so on and so forth, who are saying that they are not obligated by the agreement reached between Fatah and the Lebanese government to surrender their arms. They're not going to surrender their arms. Now, will the Lebanese government force them to do so, engage in a show of force that could be kind of a preview or at least a warning to groups like Hezbollah? Perhaps. You also have certain Lebanese officials like Gibran Basile, former Lebanese officials like Gibran Basile, head of the Free Patriotic Movement, who are calling the whole thing theater and a farce. And while Gibran Basile is not the most trustworthy source of information, to say the least, the history of Lebanon does not leave a lot for confidence, is not a source of confidence in their willingness or their ability to control their territory, to stamp out these vestiges of anarchy that have existed in the country for so long. This brings us to Hezbollah. Where we are today, the government has tasked the LAF, Lebanese Armed Forces, with drawing up a plan. The plan has not been drawn up yet, that will be submitted to the cabinet initially it was August 31st. Now it's looking like September 2nd. A plan for the disarmament of all militias, including Hezbollah, by the end of the year. So, but the critical point here is the plan has neither been submitted yet, nor has it been voted upon. And Hezbollah is now mobilizing social pressure. It's strumming the sectarian fears that haunt the Lebanese national psyche with another civil war to deter Lebanon from either adopting the plan or going through with it. Because look, even if the plan is adopted, there's a question of implementation. There's a question of, okay, now what do we do with it? Do we go and try to take the near adoption of the plan and try to milk that for all it's worth from the international community, which has been Lebanon's habit for so long, and then just stop there after Lebanon gets what it wants and say, oh, it's something we can't do. That's one suspicion that should constantly be in people's mind when they're thinking of Lebanon. Taking anything the Lebanese say at face value is unfortunately a non-starter, given the country's, again, its history on this issue. Does the LAF start the task and then stop because clashes erupt? Right? There's so many what ifs the path to Hezbollah's disarmament is just beset with uncertainty. So we can't say now that this is a sure path. We can't really say it's something certain until it's finished, until the process starts, is underway, and the LAF shows that when Hezbollah pushes back, that the government and the Lebanese armed forces will push back even harder and get their way. And we're far from that at this point. And the reason why I'm very suspicious and distrustful, again, is because Lebanon has had the task of disarming Hezbollah, among other militias, since the Taif Agreement, since the civil war ended. And it didn't do so. Back then, it's because Hezbollah had ingratiated itself to Lebanon's new Syrian hegemons, who protected it from disarmament until 2005. After 2005, when Syria was forced to withdraw from Lebanon, Hezbollah had become too militarily and socially, and that's the critical part here, socially powerful to be disarmed. Its military part had been degraded, but it's still powerful enough. It's weak vis-a-vis an actor like Israel. It's still strong vis-a-vis actors like the Lebanese armed forces or other Lebanese militias, and that's something that has to be taken into account when one considers that Hezbollah still has massive social support. So if you move against it, if you move against its weapons, which are perceived by the broader Shiite community as a guarantor of their safety against external threats and their dignity domestically, it's going to be perceived as an attack on Shiite prerogatives, or it could be. And that's the fear that hangs on that weighs on Lebanon, that could stay their hand from actually following through. And it's stayed their hand for the past 18 years, or the 18 years prior to the last war, since 2006, when Resolution 1701 reiterated Lebanon's international law obligations to disarm Hezbollah. So I'm skeptical that this will actually happen. I'm skeptical that the Lebanese will find not just the capabilities, but the will to follow through when Hezbollah starts pushing back, and it still has ways of pushing back. And I would caution against any optimism over any Lebanese move, as unprecedented as they are. Right? We have to acknowledge that the decision the cabinet took a couple of weeks ago, while they're below disarming Hezbollah, much below that, they're still unprecedented. And kudos to Lebanon for that. But until the action is underway, and until it is well underway and finalized, I caution very much against optimism.
To Syria, momentarily, we have a couple of minutes. The Al-Shara invitation of the United Nations General Assembly will be high profile about restoring Syria's sovereignty. However, Israel is said to be in conversation with Al-Shara and other elements in Damascus about Golan, Mount Hermon, and the buffer zone. My measure as an amateur, having visited that part of the Israeli border many times, is that the Golan cannot ever be transferred into the hands of Damascus again. What is your opinion, David? We have about a minute.
Look, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the discussions now, from what I've read, and Tom Barrack likes to keep things, rightly or wrongly, these discussions, he likes to keep them secret. But my understanding is it's centered on a restoration of the 1974 disengagement agreement, where, you know, maybe the demilitarized, maybe Israel withdraws from the demilitarized zone, or some arrangement is set up that allows Israel to not worry about its border with Syria. But it does not seem to be centered on the restoration, however you want to put it, of the Golan Heights to Syria. I don't see the Israeli national appetite after October 7th, or there being an Israeli national appetite after October 7th for territorial concessions.
30 seconds,
and I don't think
David, 30 seconds.
And my understanding is that Ahmed Ashera, whatever his internal thinking, whatever his true intentions, is wise enough, or at least is savvy enough, not to be asking for the Golan Heights right now. This isn't a peace agreement. It's a deconfliction agreement that would allow both sides to stop clashing and avoid friction. And you don't need the return of the Golan Heights or the cession of the Golan Heights to Syria for that. So it's not. I don't think it's on the table now.
David Daoud, Foundation for Defense of Democracy.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.